I spent the last 2 weeks in Walla Walla. I drove up with my mother. This was my gift to her this year for Christmas, to take her to visit all her grandchildren and great-grandchildren and her children. And I think we just about made, there's just two more we have to spend a little time with, but it was a wonderful experience to just spend, 2 days in a car talking with my mom and just kind of going over our lives together. It was very a blessed experience, and really was richly blessed by just listening to my mother talk about her life and then talking about my life. It was a great time. You know, there's something I have to say that the Spirit just really blessed me this morning in our worship experience together. And thank you, worship team, for bringing us into the presence of God's throne through the power of the Spirit. You know, I had the opportunity to visit a couple of churches in the last couple of weeks, and I have to tell you something. As a pastor, my heart is so overjoyed to know that when I'm gone, that the worship here is such a blessed experience, and it's because of the commitment and the passion that the worship team has, and also those of you that come to be part of the worship and come to worship God. So I'm just I'm so thankful. And as I said, I had a chance to visit a couple of churches, and I have to say that I was blessed, and the worship there was also a tremendous, a wonderful experience that I will take with me. But it's good to be home. It's good to be back and to see your smiling faces and to just be part of the family again and just worshiping God this morning. I want to pick up again in the book of Luke and in chapter 17 this morning. The title of my sermon is Supercharged Faith. There were times on the journey this week that I wished that I had a car with a supercharger on it, especially when you're going up over the Siskiyous, and it's a pretty steep climb up over those hills. Other people were passing with engines that were much more powerful. So look with me, if you will, at Luke, the 17th chapter. You know, I think we all probably have dreams. They start when we're fairly young. Things that we want to do, things that we want to accomplish in our lives. We have hopes that we hope eventually that will be fulfilled. And we work throughout our lives to accomplish these dreams and to fulfill our hopes. Sometimes they are fulfilled. Other times they go splat. And we regroup ourselves, we regroup our lives, and we carry on. Often in those times when we feel that our dreams have not been fulfilled, and that life at times is a grind and it's boring, and well, we'd kind of like to just sort of get off the merry-go-round, we ask ourselves, well, what should we do? Where should we turn? Have you ever caught yourself saying this? If only I had more faith, I could change things in my life. Have you ever said that? Maybe I just need a little bit more faith, so that things in my life wouldn't be maybe as difficult or as hard as they are. Well, if you've said that, I don't know about you, I know I've said that periodically in my life, then you're in good company, because that's really what the disciples are saying. The disciples have just heard Jesus in chapter 17. Jesus has just had a discussion with them regarding sin. Well, you know, the disciples, like us, had a struggle with that. And Jesus is talking to them about the sin condition. And more specifically, he talks about those who would lead others into sin. And it's interesting, what follows this discourse or this discussion with the disciples In chapter 17, verse 5, the apostles, you know, here Jesus is in a pretty deep discourse, a discussion about sin and about repentance and about forgiveness. All of us could learn tremendously from that discussion. But right in the middle of this discussion, one of the disciples turns to Jesus and says to the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. I'm sure that all of us at some point, as I said earlier, have asked that question or have asked the Lord to increase our faith. And this would have been an ideal time for Jesus to have taken that as sort of a cue or to springboard off of that question. But he doesn't. It's interesting that Jesus answers them with a saying. And he replied, verse 6, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a mustard seed, but if you put your two fingers together like that and look there, you would be able to maybe see a mustard seed right there. Little tiny, tiny, tiny seed. It isn't much of a seed. In fact, if you were to drop it, you probably couldn't find it again. Just a little one. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, the smallest increment that Jesus can imagine, the smallest thing, if you have that faith, what does he say? You can do what? You can say to the mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. I guess in essence, if you look at this passage of Scripture and you listen to Jesus' reply to that question, increase our faith, or that request rather, to increase our faith, Jesus is really saying this. You really don't need more faith. You don't really even need greater faith. What you need is to take the faith that you already have. And by the way, some of you are saying, well, you know, that's not really a topic that I know a whole lot about. I accepted Jesus into my life a long time ago. And, you know, I know being a Christian means that we ought to be growing in faith, but I really haven't had too many opportunities. Do you know that when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that is the very smallest, that is the very beginning of your faith relationship with your Lord Jesus Christ? To believe on your Lord Jesus Christ is the very beginning. It's the most important step, though. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But so often we get stuck and we become weak in our walk with the Lord. And maybe it's because, well, maybe we're just dwelling too much on the things that we don't have, on the things we wish we had. But let me assure you this morning, each of you, every single one of you, has been given a mustard seed of faith. Amen. Everybody. Nobody's been left out. Everyone has that. And Jesus says it's that mustard seed of faith, with that you can accomplish. You can accomplish great things. The impossible can be accomplished. Well, now, of course, you know that you can't possibly know what will happen in your life, in your walk with the Lord, until you do what? You have to take the first step. Accepting the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving that little seed, that little mustard seed of faith, and just walking around and saying, see my faith? See my faith? Look at that. Isn't that great? There's my faith. See my faith? That's really not God's will, is it? To carry that little piece of mustard seed around, that little piece of faith, maybe put it in a little tiny vial and hang it around your neck or whatever. You know, just carry it around. God wants that mustard seed to grow. You see? Well, it's kind of like if you're just going around with that little piece of mustard seed that the Lord initially gave to you, it's kind of like puttering around in circles in a normally aspirated car. Now, last week, I had a chance to take my little grandson, who's absolutely adorable, always has been, but right now it's like, wow, you know. And in fact, while I'm preaching here, I'm thinking about him at Sabbath school. Well, he's getting out now, but I mean, we went to Sabbath school together and had a great time. It was a wonderful experience. How the little ones, their hearts are so touched by just very simple messages and little songs that they sing, and it's and he sings them all week long. Anyway, some of us are kind of like people sort of puttering around and going through life in a normally aspirated car. You know, a carbureted car. Those of you that don't know a whole lot about engines know that every engine has to have a way of getting gasoline and air into the cylinder so that there can be a small explosion that causes the engine to run. And that gas and that air in the old days came through a carburetor. It's a little thing that sits on top of the engine. Sometimes there are four barrels, sometimes there's only two barrels. But that is what mixes the gasoline and the air so that it can be ignited inside the engine that makes the engine run. Now, some of us who are gearheads and like working on cars know that there are always people that like to sit in labs and in shops working on ways to make engines run faster, okay, and run smoother. And yes, sometimes get better gas mileage. Not always, but sometimes. And so God wants us to not just live life as normally aspirated cars or engines. He wants us to be supercharged. He doesn't want us to go through our lives here on this earth walking around with this little tiny piece of mustard seed saying, see, this is my faith. This is my faith. God wants our faith to grow. To grow and to spread and to be shared with others. It reminded me of a story. One of my friends, his name was Alec. This was back during my college days. And he was an incredible mechanic. In fact, I used to take my cars to him when I couldn't figure out what was wrong with the carburation or any part of the engine. He knew. He could tell just by listening to the engine, oh, I know what that is. Well, that's probably, you got a knock in your engine. It's probably one of your bearings, or it might be, if it's a high-end knock, it's one of your valve seats or whatever. You know, he just knew by listening. Now they use computers, they plug them in and they tell you. But back in those days, it was just listening. In fact, sometimes he would take a stethoscope like a doctor, you know, and he would try to find where the noise is coming from by listening to the engine. But he loved cars, he loved speed. He was a true gearhead. His name was Alec. And he loved to race on Saturday nights. That was his favorite thing. He hung out on the streets on Saturday nights, and he had a 1966 Mustang GT. Now, some of you younger guys are going, well, maybe I've seen one of those, but we got cars that are much faster today. Well, anyways, in 1967, in 66, the Mustang GT K code, I'm going to see how many good gearheads we have here. The K code is the number on the serial number on the car, and if it had a K designation there, it meant that it had a high-performance 289 engine in it that had solid lifters, and you could hear it. You could hear those solid lifters. Most 289s had hydraulic lifters. Those of you who don't understand what I'm saying, don't worry about it. We'll get there. So this K-code Mustang 289 high-performance engine was the car to have. It was fast. It was light. That's why Carroll Shelby took the Mustang and turned it into a race car. He knew that the Mustang was a super fine, lightweight, fast car with an excellent engine. And so this friend of mine went out and bought a brand new 1966 Mustang GT K-code fastback. I would love to have one right now. But anyway, he loved to race. And there was a couple cars that were just a little faster than him. And they were Mustangs too. They were called Shelbys. And they were just tweaked a little bit to the point where they had an edge on him. And he didn't like that. So he got to working on it. And he built himself a, what we called a sleeper in those days. A sleeper is a car that doesn't look like it's really fast, but it really is fast. In other words, underneath the skin of that car is a super engine. And he supercharged this engine. The next time he went out on the street to race on Saturday night, he blew the doors off all the Shelbys. And they are going, what did you do? What in the world happened? The secret was he had bought a supercharger and he had put it on that engine. And now he had the winner's edge. Now he was blowing the doors off cars that were obviously much more expensive than his. So you see, once we add that element that God wants us to add to our lives become supercharged faith. Would you like to change your life this morning?
Amen.
Would you like to know what God really has in store for us? It's not that little tiny mustard seed. Certainly that's vital. That's important. That's what God plants in our hearts. But when God plants that, He expects us to nourish it. You see? It's our part to nourish that mustard seed faith that He plants in us when we first accept Him as our personal Savior. Would you like a boost in your life? I've learned the word boost here in the last few months. It has to do with turbocharging. My son purchased a WRX a Subaru, and they've been working on putting the engine, getting it together, putting it in this car. And for the first 2 weeks that they had the engine in, they ran it as a normally aspirated Subaru because the turbo on it was bad. It had a bad bearing. So they bypassed and they just ran it on fuel injection, I guess is what it has. And it had power, but he kept saying to me, Dad, just wait. This thing's going to have incredible boost. This thing's going to have incredible power when we get the new turbo in it. So I came back from my little time up north, and sure enough, yesterday I got to drive the Subaru. And let me tell you, there's a big difference between a WRX Subaru that's normally aspirated and one that's been turbocharged. A big difference. And you notice it at about 3,000 to 4,000 RPMs. It just like pins you back in the seat. And I came home with a big smile on my face and said, yeah, why would anybody ever want to own anything else but a Subaru WRX. Now, some of you will disagree with me, obviously. There are other nicer cars out there, too, I realize. But for him, that's a great car. For me, it's okay. Because there are other cars that I like even better. But let me tell you, what has to happen, and Jesus is making this evident here in chapter 17. You have to start by changing the reason for why you're living. You get it? If you live just to care for life's mundane things, for the basic needs of life, if all you want is a good life, and I hear people say that a lot, all I want is just a good life. In fact, now more than maybe 10 years ago, people are really concerned. They want to maintain the good life. If materialism is what turns your neck, or in the case of us gearheads, if materialism is what cranks our engine, okay, then what I have to say and what I have to share from God's Word this morning is probably really of no value to you. On the other hand, if you want to prioritize and reprioritize your life, if you want to supercharge your faith, then here it is. This is the added dimension. This takes your life from being normally aspirated faith, the little mustard seed, to supercharged faith. And here it is. Live to please God. Okay? Did you hear that? Live to please God. Now, I know that we have generations of Americans and people also from other parts of the world who have grown up with the idea that the purpose of life is live to please myself. But we're not that much different than the disciples, are we? Not really. Their whole thing was about, living to please themselves, providing for their families, and all those things that are good. Not saying they're bad. Those are all important. But our purpose, the purpose for us being here, the purpose for being a Christian is to please God. Take 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Follow me now. Pick up your Bibles. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. Finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live. Listen to that. We instructed you how to live in order to please who? To please God. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11. You all know that the book of Hebrews is a book of faith. You all know that chapter 11 is like the center. It's the hub of the whole book of Hebrews. And here's what it says. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And without faith, there it is. Hello? Without what? Faith. Mustard seed faith. Without faith, it is impossible. And I like the word impossible because in the Hebrew, it literally means there's no other way. Okay? It means it is impossible to what? To please God. Did you get that? Impossible to please God without faith. So if you're normally aspirated and you're running around with this little piece of seed and you're saying, see my faith? I have faith. I'm a Christian. See my faith? Yeah, you're not cutting it, folks. Because the faith that God is talking about here is a faith that doesn't just sit in a little glass jar, or doesn't just sit in a pew. It's a faith that is moving, a faith that is growing, a faith that is nurturing, a faith that is expanding. Romans 8, verse 8. Romans 8, verse 8. I really do miss the Jets because they kind of punctuate. You know, as a pastor here, you kind of have to learn to use them as commas and periods in between your thoughts. There's kind of a rhythm to those planes going over. So Romans 8, verse 8. Somebody read it. What does it say? Oh, have mercy. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. How can you please God? By faith. The only way to please God is by faith. Having faith. Okay, so if pleasing God is important to you, if living a life that is pleasing to God is important to you, then having faith and growing, nurturing faith is important also. So our goal in life then is to please God. Got news for you. If you don't learn that lesson, if you don't understand what that means, then you are probably going to be all alone in heaven. Because in heaven, our sole purpose is to glorify and to praise God. Isn't that right? To please God. The angels were created to minister to God in heavenly places. They were created to worship before God's throne. They were created to bring praise and adoration to God. And you and I, like the angels, were also created to glorify and praise God. And that's why we come here on Sabbath morning. It's a practice time. It's praise 101. Some of you got it, some of you don't. It's okay. We got time, I think. God wants us to learn to praise Him now so that when we get to heaven, we don't have to sit in a class for 1,000 years to learn how to praise God. Okay? So you understand that that's why we are here. To learn to praise God, to give Him glory, to glorify Him through our lives. With faith, we know that without faith, it is impossible to please God. We read that. Okay? There are many things that are pleasing to God. I believe that heartfelt worship is one. Stewardship, and even more specifically than that, costly stewardship. Do you know what that is? Costly stewardship. And I'm not just talking about giving your last penny to the Lord. I'm talking about how we live our lives. It's a priority of our lives. What is the priority in your life? Does your life and your relationship with God cost you something? I'll tell you something. That's another thing. If we don't learn to do that now, there will come a time when our lives will be required because we are Christians. Will you pay the price or will you surrender and walk away from God? It's time to learn that now. The other thing that brings is pleasing to God is a life of obedience and following Him, being faithful, faithfulness. You know, when we look at the life of Jesus, we recognize that Jesus is the clearest example, the most perfect manifestation of God's will. You can't find in the Scriptures another individual whose life was so connected with the will of God. And so as we look at the life of Jesus, we realize that Jesus was so connected with His Father's will. He was so faithful to His Father's voice that His life was pleasing. What did God say? "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Do you know that God, He wants to say that about each of us. "This is my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." Now, I wouldn't want anyone to go home and say, "Well, okay, now the pastor said that Jesus, you know, is an example." Jesus came to, yes, to show us a way, but Jesus came to die for us so that we would have hope of eternal life. It's in His death that we have complete salvation. And in following Jesus, we live a life that is pleasing to our God. And so, yes, it's true that all of us receive a small portion of faith, but it is up to us to make sure that that faith is planted deep in our hearts. It is up to us to make sure that that seed is nurtured and watered and fertilized. And the way we do that is by studying God's Word. The way we do that is by fellowshipping and worshiping together, worshiping God together. The way we do that is by listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. "This is the way, walk ye in it." We do that by kneeling down and praying to our God and taking before Him our supplications and our desires of our hearts. That is how that little piece of mustard grows, and it grows into a beautiful tree where birds come and plant their nests and lay their eggs. Where all the world can come and see, this is a faith that has grown from that little tiny mustard seed into this beautiful tree, this place that is so pleasing, and it glorifies God. I challenge us today. I challenge us as Jesus challenged the disciples so long ago to allow that seed of faith, that little tiny seed of faith, to grow into a mature Christian faith. Because without faith, we cannot please God.